Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show. And together, we wish all of you a great afternoon and a big hello and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition in the middle of August, August the 17th, 2016. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, and we worldwide live listening at our program live at buckmastershow.com and the station's fine website, kvoi.com. And then, of course, we have all of our programs archived, the podcasts and archive available on your schedule, 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our lifeline number here is 790-2040. We welcome your questions and comments, and we invite you to become a friend of our show. We have a couple hundred more places available for you on Facebook. In addition, we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We're going to get things going with one of our two dozen contributors to the program. All of their bios, they're a very impressive group of people, listed at buckmastershow.com. The contributor on health, we're honored to have Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She's a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is certainly internationally recognized. She's a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that will help solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook. It's titled Women's Integrative Health. She's also the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her fine website, victoriamazesmd.com, and follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Let's go now to the live line and Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Do you have your sunscreen on?
I have sunscreen in my moisturizer, which I put on every morning.
You know, sunscreen and living in Tucson, Arizona should go hand in hand. This survey that was done, dermatologists actually there were three of them at Northwestern University were asking patients, their patients, about sunscreen, would you please take a brief quiz? And these patients did. And surprisingly, about half had trouble really determining what the sun protective factor known as SPF is. There is a lot of room, Dr. Mazes, for education in this area.
Yes, so I'm so glad we're speaking about it because sunscreen is one of the strategies that we use to avoid sunburn and increase risk of skin cancer and, of course, of aging skin, which none of us really want.
No. And you know, I grew up along Lake Michigan, and in those days, in the 60s, the point was to in the summertime was to get as red, as sunburned as possible. We would even put Dr. Mazes' baby oil on to try to fry our skin. And subsequently, as we age, I, for one, have had to have, you know, the several spots zipped and zapped. I try to go every 4 months. But my story is very common here in Tucson, isn't it?
Well, yes. And I grew up near the Atlantic Ocean and fair-skinned. I got lots and lots of sunburns. I never put the baby oil on me, but I certainly knew lots of people who did, and
yeah,
some of whom sat then with reflectors in the sun.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So we live in a different world now, and we use sunscreen, which can reduce our risk. But, you know, sometimes people get overconfident. They put the sunscreen on, and maybe it has a high SPF, and then they don't put it on a second time. They don't reapply. So people are actually given a bit too much confidence by these SPF factors of 50 or 100. They're actually not very much more effective than a 15 or a 30.
Where do we begin? I suppose the best place is, what is a sun protective factor?
Well, it really has to do with how long you can stay out in the sun and not get sunburned. The reality is the intensity of the sun makes a big difference. So one of our days, you know, a beautiful clear sky, sun overhead, is different from a day where there is lots of cloud cover. You could get sunburned on both days, but it's going to be easier to get sunburned in that full sun. If you're at high altitude, it's easier to get sunburned. If you have reflection of the sun off of water or snow, for example, it's easier to get sunburned. Some of it is a little bit knowing yourself, but some of it is not being overexposed, even though you put the sunscreen on.
Are these sun protective factors, the SPF, how does that work as far as you alluded to the fact that not necessarily like a 100 or a 50 would be that much better than a lower number, correct?
Right. So you mentioned that in this recent article that was published, people were confused. A lot of people thought, well, a 30 would be twice as good as a 15. So it turns out that SPF 30 blocks about 97% of the UVB rays, and UVA and UVB is also something we should talk about. So SPF 30 blocks 97%, but an SPF 15 blocks 93%. So you get an extra 4%. As you go up to those 50 or 100 SPF, you might get closer to 99%, but you're only looking at, you know, a 2% or so difference. And sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm using that SPF 100, so I only have to apply it in the morning and I'm done.
This Atlantic article about how SPF ratings can do more harm than good. How can they do more harm than good, an SPF rating?
Well, I think the answer is that people feel like they've protected themselves. They've put the sunscreen on, and therefore they can just spend the whole day in the sun and not worry. And there's a few things. The SPF really only refers to the UVB, the ultraviolet B rays. It doesn't address the UVA rays, which are also carcinogenic. And so, you know, you may be protected from the one, but not well from the other. We should remember, you know, the other things we can do, like avoiding midday sun, wearing long sleeves, wearing hats, wearing sunglasses, which are all going to be really important in terms of protecting ourselves from some of the deleterious effects of sunshine.
You know, there's another factor that we need to keep in mind. If you're on a particular medication, some of these medications make you even more susceptible to sunburn.
Right, that is true, and you know, that's a side effect that you want to be made aware of. Now, having said that, sometimes we all just become afraid of the sun, and I want to say that, you know, sunlight is important. I mean, we do make vitamin D in our skin when we're exposed to sunlight. The sun appears to have an effect on our mood. You know, we all hear about that sometimes in people who live in places other than Arizona, where they have very dark winters, and they sometimes develop seasonal affective disorder. And one of the treatments for that is actually a light box and mimicking the effects of being in the sun. So sun has certain health-promoting effects, and it's not just something to avoid. But getting sunburned is not a good idea.
Maybe some sun late afternoon, early morning can be beneficial even without sunscreen, would you say?
Yes. So indeed, if you're out in the sun with sunscreen on, you're not going to be able to make vitamin D. Vitamin D is really blocked. The production in your skin is really blocked when you wear sunscreen. And so, yes, being out in the sun for a little bit of the day, early or late, not long enough to get a sunburn, but long enough to have the health benefits and to create your vitamin D is a good idea.
How much vitamin D do you need? How how much vitamin D can you get from a little bit of sun exposure? And would you still need, it was something we've talked about before, about vitamin D supplements?
Well, you can produce a lot of vitamin D in about 15 minutes in the sun if you're relatively exposed, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, in a bathing suit, mm-hmm. so that your chest, your arms, your legs are exposed. We're actually pretty good then at forming vitamin D. The issue, of course, is that most of us don't spend much time that way. Instead, we're pretty covered up, and you know, maybe just a tiny little bit of us is exposed and therefore able to form the vitamin D.
Let's talk about cosmetics when we come back in our second segment about regulation of cosmetics, and having the sun protection factor included in the cosmetics as we continue with Dr. Mays's 790-2040. If there are any questions that you have and would like to call in and enhance our half hour with Dr. Mays's, make the call now. Be right back.
This is Our House. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's Our House.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mays is the Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine and a Professor of Medicine, Family Medicine, and Public Health. Is our monthly contributor on health to our program, 790-2040. We're talking about sunscreens. We had a listener who wanted to know about chemicals in sunscreen. Are they, some of these chemicals, can they be dangerous and perhaps hazardous to your health, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, so that's a really important question because there's lots and lots of sunscreens out there, and I don't know if everyone takes the time to read the ingredients on them. The best ingredients, the safest ingredients, and the ones that actually protect us from both UVA and UVB are the minerals, which is zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. Zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. They're thick. They can make you look a little white and pasty. You got to really rub them in. But they are the safest and most effective sunscreens. Unfortunately, there are some dangerous chemicals in sunscreen that you need to be aware of. For example, there's a chemical called oxybenzone. It's an endocrine disruptor, which means that it can alter the normal effect of hormones in the body. It's actually been associated with endometriosis in women. There is another one called octinoxate that also has been shown to have endocrine disrupting effects. There's a chemical called retinol palmitate, which is sometimes used on the skin at night to have an anti-aging effect, and it actually has been proven to have that effect. It's not like you should never use that, but you shouldn't use it in your sunscreen because it turns out that when it's in sunscreens and you wear it while you're exposed to the sun, it increases your risk of skin cancer.
How about cosmetics? Many of the cosmetics now, it's just kind of a given, isn't it, that they have some kind of SP sun protection factor in there?
Right, and so some of them can, and the same rules are going to apply, that you want to look and be sure that it has the best possible ingredients. I want to mention a wonderful resource that I use a lot and often direct my patients to, and that's the Environmental Working Group. The Environmental Working Group actually has a guide to sunscreens, and they have a long list of the best sunscreens. When you go to the store, you can have this list with you, and it's going to be helpful in terms of choosing ones that are good at UVA and UVB protection and don't have some of these more dangerous chemicals in them.
And again, the best ingredients to look for in sunscreen products would be what?
Zinc oxide and titanium dioxide.
So when you're looking at the ingredients on the package, you want to make sure they have those two particular ingredients.
Well, those are the safest and the most effective. As I said, they sometimes make people look a little white and pasty, and we don't always love that. Europe has some sunscreens that our FDA hasn't passed yet, but that are also seen as effective at both UVA and UVB. And so hopefully sometime soon we'll be getting some of those products.
Are cosmetics regulated, and how carefully are they regulated?
Well, that's a really great question. I don't know if your listeners noticed, but there was just an interesting set of articles in the press about the cosmetics industry really having a splintering between the larger companies and the smaller companies, because Senators Feinstein and Collins proposed a bill about safety, this personal product safety bill. And the truth is that it is essentially an unregulated industry. There was a series of articles about a product that's causing hair loss, significant hair loss, full baldness, actually. And apparently there have been 21,000 complaints of this, and yet the FDA has no power whatsoever to pull this product from the marketplace, and it's still being sold, even though the company's giving settlements to the people who've had the baldness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So we don't actually have a regulated cosmetic industry, and it's a buyer beware. The cosmetics may look beautiful, but they have some dangerous chemicals in them.
So what would happen if you decide that you're just not going to wear any of these protective? Is there some kind of a supplement, a natural supplement, that can give you some kind of a sunscreen protection, or do you have to have some kind of an SP factor?
Well, remember that minerals are natural. Mm-hmm. Zinc oxide, is two chemical compounds that are bound, so that could be considered natural. But the in the cosmetics industry, in large part due to consumer demand, there are more and more and more companies that are springing up that do actually provide very clean, chemical-free products that are for the discerning consumer, because lots of people don't want to be putting these chemicals on their face. So as an example, one place I direct some of my patients to is a Facebook site called No More Dirty Looks. Great name, No More Dirty Looks. And that can lead you toward safer products. Once again, the Environmental Working Group has a cosmetics database, and you can look up the products that you're currently using and see how well they rank in terms of being carcinogens or allergens or endocrine disruptors. You also could say, well, I don't need to look up my product. I just want to know what's a good shampoo, and you could look up the category of shampoo. You may have a brand you like. You can look up the brand and see how well it does. And it's all free. It's a non-profit organization that I think provides some really useful resources for people. And you can get an app for it on your phone. So when you go to the store, you can scan the barcodes.
And again, there is no such thing as 100% protection. Is that safe to say?
Yes, that is safe to say.
So, I mean, even if you get something that shows 100, or I don't even know if they make them even higher, it doesn't mean that more is necessarily better.
Well, when you're using sunscreens, remember to reapply frequently, and especially if you're in the water, there's no such thing really as a waterproof sunscreen, or if you've been sweating. And of course, in the middle of the day, don't just depend on the sunscreen. Wear a hat, think about protective clothing, sit in the shade, avoid that midday sun.
How about kids applying sunscreen to children?
Incredibly important. And for children, some of these dangerous chemicals, the endocrine disrupting chemicals, are really posing an even greater risk. The Environmental Working Group has a section that looks at the sunscreens for children and has rankings on those.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much. We can find out more about you on your website. You all have very comprehensive website with lots of good information, and that's at Victoria Mazes, MAIZESMD.com. Also, the Center for Integrative Medicine has a great website as well, correct?
Absolutely. It's azcim.org.
What's new at the center? Anything that we, our listeners, should know about?
Well, we're working on a self-care tool that will be available for the public. We're very excited about that.
All righty. We will be talking to you again next month in September. Where did this year go? Have a great rest of the day. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you.
Dr. Victoria Mazes with us. You can also follow Dr. Mazes on her Twitter, and that is at Dr. Mazes. All right, we are coming up now on 12:30. We will be talking about education. What is the next step now that 123 has passed? That was a question a week ago that I put to Governor Ducey, and several media organizations have picked up on his response. We'll talk about that some more with David Safir of the Tucson Weekly, the education writer, after this break.
This is Our House. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's Our House.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, plus good news about the future of Rito Racetrack. Buckmaster Live, noon to 1, on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming podcasts and our archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the program presented by our friends over at Green Things. Got so much going on over there on 13 acres. Check it out. They've got workshops Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Broken pottery. No, don't just toss it away. Make a little planter out of it. There'll be a broken pottery workshop 10 a.m. Saturday at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Then part 9 of this series, Sunday morning at 10, Growing with Green Things is the name of the series, and part 9 is selection and care of shrubs and ground cover. So, I mean, they've got you covered over at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com for more information. Let's welcome now David Safir. David writes about education for the section that is known as The Range at TucsonWeekly.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks.
Well, day number 89, you've been asking a question, Ducey's next step, and of course this is pertaining to what is step number 2, what's next after the passage of Proposition 123.
Right, and I've been keeping it up, and the reason I've been keeping it up is because nobody else seems to be. And Bill, I have to give you a big compliment and a shout out here for actually getting Governor Ducey on record to answer the question, what is the next step after Prop 123, because I've been scouring the media, I haven't found it.
Yes, we had Governor Ducey for a half hour last Wednesday, a week ago today, and a couple of portions of that interview, one pertaining to his support of Donald Trump and the other pertaining to this subject, what is next for Prop 123, have been picked up by quite a bit of media.
Well, you were definitely a newsmaker on this one, Bill. You know, you often ask questions that people answer, but this time you asked questions that everybody wanted the answer to, and that was great. Again, hats off to the interview you did for on Doug Ducey.
Thank you. So what is Doug Ducey's response?
Well, in a word, the one thing I've been wondering is, when Prop 123 was being proposed before it was voted on, he kept on saying, of course, it's only the first step. And by saying first step like that, everybody can make up their own Rorschach tests of what first step means and what the next step will be. And he wanted people to think the next step might mean more money, especially those people like me who think there should be more money in it. He also wanted the people who didn't want more money to know that he wasn't committing to that. So all this time, in the last 90 days now it is, he hasn't said one way or another if there was going to be any more money. And on your show, Bill, he basically said by omitting that, no more money. We're going to look at shifting around the money we already have, and we're going to be looking at improving outcomes and results, but not the money that's necessary to bring us up even to 48th in the country in the amount we spend per student.
The day before the interview with the governor, Joe Thomas, who is the new head of the Arizona Education Association, which represents thousands of teachers in this state, said he had an answer for the next step, and you know what that answer is.
Yeah, that we need more money. He said it very, very clearly, and I think I remember, and you may remember better than I think he said, contrary to what the governor says, we really do need more money. So he really focused on that.
And the governor, then I brought that up to the governor. I mentioned that about what Mr. Thomas was saying. Then the governor went on to, did he really give you a definitive answer about the next step?
Well, he went on for 2 or 3 minutes and threw out all kinds of stuff. And I listened to the interviewer 2 or 3 times, wrote down everything that was relevant, and quoted it in the post if you want to see it on The Range or on Tucson Weekly. It's the Ducey Next Step Watch, Day 89, No More Reading Tea Leaves edition. We don't have to guess anymore. And in that, he said any number of things, but he also said in the middle of that that we shouldn't be just throwing any more money into something until we see whether the outcomes are there. And if you translate that, it's very clear what that means. If there are no good outcomes, according to the state tests, I don't know how else he's going to see the outcomes. He said, well, it's silly to throw even more good money after bad. That's what he can say. If there are good outcomes, he can say, it worked. We don't need more money. He wins on that either way. But Ducey has no desire and no inclination to give more money to education because his money is supposed to go to tax cuts for his wealthy friends. End of story. That's what it's for.
Well, you know, this part of the fear of people who were saying, well, I will hold my nose and I'll vote for Proposition 123, there were those that said, well, I'm going to vote for it, but I'm fearful now that if it passes, the legislative leaders will say, look what we've done, and we can move on to another subject, basically push education to the back burner.
Well, I'm partially one of those people. And as a matter of fact, on this post I just mentioned, a comment by a woman who's got 30 years experience in the district and is a wonderful person said, David, I told you so. I told you he wasn't going to give any more money. And my answer to her is, of course. I knew he wasn't. If you look 3 weeks before the election, I wrote, I don't think he's going to give any money, but I said, let's hold his feet to the fire and see what he says, because if he says no more money, if he says we've given enough, and he already said that we put additional resources in, he said that on your show, if he says, well, we've done enough already, then people can say, fine, he's against more funding for education. We can't vote him out, but we can vote his supporters out, and we can vote in more people who are pro education by saying we simply don't spend enough on our children to make them competitive, give them a good future, give Arizona a good future.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you have a question or comment for David Safir. And this column, your blog on Ducey's Next Step, at last I looked, had generated quite a few comments.
Well, actually, people who don't know Facebook won't understand this, but a lot of people shared it, which mm-hmm. means they said, I'm going to put it on my Facebook page so it goes over on theirs. And that's happened almost 30 times since I put it up yesterday afternoon. Hmm. And I think before this, I've only had 5 shares. So this clearly hit a nerve. People did want to say, look, we have a governor who says no more money for education, and this is an election season. We get to vote. Each one of us is an important character in Arizona in terms of determining its future, and we've got to ask every person running for office, which side are you on? Do we do enough for education, or do we need to have more funding for education? If they say no more funding, I say they shouldn't be your candidate if you're pro-public education and believe that it doesn't have enough money. And when I say pro-public education, I'm including the publicly funded charter schools, which also say they need more money. And as a matter of fact, some of them even demand, or as close as they can come to demanding, that their parents kick in a little bit of money because they say we can't do it with what the state provides.
You know, last year at this time, people were talking that something has to be done about education. They were talking about it in a way that the next session of the legislature, it suddenly became a front burner issue. I'm very curious now to see how, as we get closer to the next session, whether or not how education is going to play up in Phoenix.
I agree with you. And I would hope that people would vote. I mean, it's very tough. We've got so many legislative districts that are absolutely going to go Republican or absolutely going to go Democrat. There are only a few that are swing districts. But even in that sense, if you've got a Republican district in the primary, you can vote for the one. And there's some Republicans who are more pro-education than other Republicans, more pro-public education, I guess I should say. And amongst Democrats is the same thing. But even there, this becomes a very, very important point. And I have to say that I think that neither the Democratic Party or groups like the AEA, the Arizona Educational Association, are not nearly as strong on this as they should be. I think they should be shouting this from the rooftops, because many people say that education is their number one issue. So let them know, so they can make a good, informed decision. And I think they've got to do it more than they do.
Do you have the feeling that Mr. Thomas and the AEA, in effect, is sort of settling in now with what they've got?
No, they want more money. But by background, when I taught in Oregon, I was a member of the Oregon Education Association, very proud of that, and very, very pro-union in general and very pro-teachers union. But having said that, I think the Arizona Education Association is suffering a little bit from the battered syndrome, where you've been hit so often by the Republican establishment that you say, well, maybe I better not criticize them too much or they'll hit me even more. And I think that's destructive. I think they've got to realize that these people are not going to give them anything unless they have their backs to the wall. And the way you get their backs to the wall on this is you say, we demand more, and we're going to tell everybody that we demand more, and we just demand more of the governor and of our legislators, and we demand more from the budget, and say it out loud often rather than kind of trying to make nice. I understand why they work together on Prop 1, 2, 3, and I applaud that, because as much as I didn't like a lot of things about it, I like the fact that money is flowing, salaries are up for teachers right now, that's all great. But once you've worked together, then you've got to say, right now you're not fulfilling your next step pledge. It's got to be said loud.
All right, we're going to take a pause right here. David Safir sticks around. All sorts of news about charter schools. That's coming up next. If there was something that David said that has rubbed you the wrong way, David's ready for you. 790-2040. Call us on the live line. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. We're at this party where the homeowners recently replaced their old inefficient windows and doors with brand new energy efficient Pella products by Enhance Openings. And I tell you, these homeowners, they know what they're doing. They took advantage of our free Pella installation sale. Hey, look who's here. Wow, you're looking great.
John Lewis.
I never saw you so clearly.
Joseph Blair.
I saw you through the new patio door across the way. You look fabulous. And you're asking about the free installation sale? Call 520-886-1602, 520-886-1602 for the free Pella installations by Enhance Openings. My fellow Centurion is here. You're
Bill Hussey.
Bill, don't let the savings pass you by. Call today for our free installation sale, 520-886-1602. Join the Pella party. You got to call 886-1602, enhanceopenings.com. Well, you like the Pella products? Wait until you see the garage.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. $12.50 now on the Buckmaster Show. May I recommend, if you're thinking, what do we do this weekend? Want to do a little road trip? Well, how about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Basically, point the car in the easterly direction, get on the interstate, head 3 hours, take a left at Lordsburg, and go up to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You will not regret it. It's a great experience. Places like Pinos Altos, it's a great little mining town at 7,000 feet elevation. And that's the kind of thing that you can do, just sort of kick back, historic downtown Silver City. Lots to offer. The full listing of the many places to stay, there's about 24 or so places, southwestnewmexico.org also lists the many activities for you to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go to the live line. Chuck has called us at 790-2040, and he would like to speak with David Safir of the Tucson Weekly. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, Mr. Safir. I hear you keep saying more money, more money, more money for education. I mean, this has been going on for years and years and years. You realize that this community is made up of many, many senior citizens, I being one of them. We live on a fixed income. We have to watch our pennies. And every time you put more money into the education, that's coming out of our pockets and, other, of course, other citizens too. But you have to realize that there's other people in the community that their welfare has got to be looked after also. So I think the school system has got plenty of money. They just need to know how to program that money to go where it's supposed to go.
Thank you, Chuck.
Let me start at the end of what you said. If the school system has enough money per student, then 48 states believe that that's not correct because they believe there should be more money because we're about 48th or 49th or 50th, depending on who's doing the counting, in the amount we spend per student. And I, Chuck, absolutely agree with you. You as a senior on a fixed income or people who are middle class and lower absolutely are paying enough. However, the wealthiest Arizonans and the wealthiest people in this country simply aren't paying their fair share, we can get a whole lot more money into the system by taxing them at a rate that makes sense. They are wealthy. It won't hurt them from that sense. The businesses will thrive if they pay a little bit more in business taxes than they pay now. And instead of that, what we're doing is we're having Governor Ducey saying, let's have the businesses and wealthy people pay less. And when they pay less, he says, oh, it looks like we can't afford to put any more money in education. Chuck, you shouldn't pay a penny more. I don't know, maybe you should be paying less, but certainly the wealthiest among us who have been given the most, who've taken the most, who've made the most out of the opportunities in this country need to pay their fair share.
Will more money fix these problems?
Fix?
That's a fundamental question that those that are critics of putting more money into the education system, David, point to places like Washington, D.C., where they spend a lot of money and the system, the education system doesn't really seem to get any better.
Well, there are all kinds of ways to deal with that. Nothing fixes anything. What you want is for things to improve. And things can improve with more money that's well spent. More money that's wasted? No. More money that's well spent in the classroom on students can and does improve the quality of education incrementally. It will not make students who are low income, students who came here from Mexico or are with parents who don't speak English, who don't have the same English proficiency, it won't immediately make them score like people at Catalina Foothills District. It's not going to happen, but it will help. And as for Washington, D.C., you've got to look at the poverty in that city. Every city with low-income people has low scores and low achievement because achievement and income are directly correlated statistically. There's just no question about it.
David Safir is with us, and Jim has called us. It's Jim Kelly, our friend, 790-2040. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hey, David. Well, you said one thing I absolutely agree with. Income and public school achievement are directly related. But so the job then is to increase people's income, because then with increased income, you get a larger tax base to help those schools. And the only way we're going to do that is, you know, jobs that aren't minimum wage. And you know darn good well, our poorest districts, the median wage is less than $18,000 a year. And you can't raise a family on that. You can't raise a family of three or even four on that. So it's increasing the wages and increasing the amount of people that are paying taxes. And it's you just can't keep taking more and more and more from the same group of people. And that's what's got to stop. And that's why bonds don't get voted on. So once we increase our economic opportunities for people, the schools will come along. Because I guarantee you, people up in the foothills are happy with CDO. They're happy with Catalina Foothills. They're happy with Marana. Okay, Suarita Unified School District. People are happy with the Suarita Unified School District. The two school districts that everybody has a tough time with is Sunnyside and TUSD.
Well, I have to say, by the way, by way of background, that Jim, you and I go around frequently on Facebook, and both being good-hearted, well-meaning people, we find areas of agreement often, but being a liberal versus a conservative, we find areas of disagreement too. So absolutely, I 100% agree with you that if we get the socioeconomic state, the income level and all kinds of things like that going better, it will automatically raise students' achievement just directly. On the other hand, if we get better education, it can help that that proposition as well. So it's a two-pronged business. Now, in terms of keeping on getting money from the same people, I think, Jim, you know as well as I that the tax rates for the rich and for businesses have been going down rather than up. If we could bring them back to the levels they were before, for instance, our income tax rate in Arizona is approximately 30% lower than it was a few decades ago. If we bring that up proportionally on people who can afford it best, there will be more money in the system.
We didn't get a chance to get to dive deep into the charter schools. We can do that next month. But briefly, why does the NAACP, why are they calling for a moratorium, David Safir, on charter schools?
That's really interesting. NAACP stands for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It's been around for ages. It's been very important in civil rights movement, very important in education. And they recently put out in their a resolution, which hasn't been voted on to be finalized, that they think there should be a moratorium on the creation of charter schools. Let's be clear. They're not saying get rid of charter schools. They say we have to look at this. We have to look at the situation before we put any more out there. And I think they, like most people, will say there are some very good charter schools out there. But here are some of their concerns. They say that, and this is true statistically, no question about it, charter schools increase segregation. Charter schools are more segregated racially than public schools that are run by districts. That's true. They talk about, and this is really awful, some disreputable charter school operators who will open a school in a low-income area, African-American or Latino or otherwise, and they'll promise everything. They'll call it a college preparatory academy, and then they'll put almost no money in the school. They'll warehouse the kids. They'll give them no education, and they'll walk away with the state money. This happens too often, and they say that the NAACP says this mirrors predatory lending practices. Then there are other problems that the school boards aren't elected, they're appointed, problems with disciplinary stuff, problems with oversight. So the NAACP is saying, let's just hold off and look at the situation for
David
a while.
David Safir, we'll look for your work at TucsonWeekly.com, the column known as The Range, where you write about education. David, see you next month. Thank you.
I will see you then.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, for Tucson at 4, Ray Allen with Mike Shaw, and then we do 3 hours of Wake Up in the Morning, 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ray Allen tomorrow. The University of Arizona President, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, will be with us. That should be a very interesting session. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.